Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
This is Jeff Fellas. It's Monday, January 9th, 2012.
Hee-haw! Episode 7.50, the Wild Card Recap Show.
Also known as the Wild Card Recap Show. Why would you call it anything else? Be honest.
Also known as what? You're the one who went
there. I'm like
there.
The guy who usually says also known as, and I'm like, that would be dumb.
Also known as. We are talking about four games, one which was fantastic, and the other three which was just blowouts, and fantastic for the winning teams, but not so much for the losing teams.
Yeah, and I got to get up because for the vidcast, we
No. They're now gone.
I know they're
gone. The helmets must be gone
now. It's
going to
help me remember the games.
Oh, I see.
It's going to help me remember the games. So stand up and fix your helmets.
Jeff needs help.
I need visual representation.
I see.
So,
because after this podcast is over, these helmets are going down.
Absolutely.
We're also, Jeffrey, this week is going to be
the best.
The craziest week for us, just so you know that.
What have you got store for me?
Well, I can't say anything. I hate to say stuff on the air because then if it doesn't happen, then you cry. And then I don't like that.
Do I cry?
So, sometimes you do.
Do I?
Sometimes.
Yeah, tell me about one.
Okay, maybe you don't cry with tears.
Oh!
But you cry with, you know, by other
my
stuff.
My heart cries.
But anyways, four games.
Tell me about one of those times my heart cried. So basically, you're just full of it.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
Okay, so your heart doesn't cry, but
right,
you always
right.
And
my eyes
like,
don't cry.
And your eyes don't cry, but you're always like, but you said you were going to do this.
Tell me about one of those times. Tell me about one of those times.
Just recently,
yeah,
said we were going to do something,
yeah,
and it didn't happen. The very next day, you were like, but you said we were going to.
Broad brush strokes, what it is that you're referring to.
Oh, you want me to do the actual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had been communicating with San Francisco 49ers PR
right.
department, and we were promised a player,
right.
and the player didn't come
right.
on. And
right.
then you were like, but you said we were
really?
Going to have so-and-so
really?
On.
Really?
Kind of. Maybe not as whiny.
Oh, not as whiny. So maybe I said, but I thought you said we were going to have this person on. It was maybe more like that.
Maybe.
Okay. See, Steven, people
have
opinions of us that they've formed over the years, and many of those opinions are formed by what we say about one another.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Jeff's
I
a
actually,
whiny little girl. That's fine.
I got some emails from because you said that everybody loves me.
They do.
And
did you get anything to the contrary?
No, I didn't.
There you go.
But I did get
I'm the one who's harder to like. That's all there is to it.
I did get a Redskins fan like, dude, just Jeff is right. I'm a Redskins fan, and
see?
I love you.
See? If a freaking Redskins fan likes you, then what can you say?
Gosh.
I'm
right.
harder to like. I'm down with that.
You're down with that?
But it's just the
you're
truth.
Down with the
so I don't need you making it harder to like.
I get it.
Girl.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. No, Jeff has not been crying or anything. But I do I'm working hard right now, and it's because of obviously our relationships with Sky Sports News Radio. We're on radio all week in the UK. If you guys are in the UK and you got a chance to go to Sky Sports News Radio and listen to us talk football.
You can even go to skysportsnewsradio.com and listen.
Yes, exactly.
You don't even have to have a terrestrial radio near you. You could be, I don't know, at the office?
Exactly.
I don't know, maybe like
have
when you
Sky
listen
Sports
to our show.
Radio on.
And
Jeffrey has been making his Monday appearances.
Which I'll be doing tonight.
Exactly. So that's all good stuff. But because of that,
and
we are now having
TV
relationships
Friday.
With PR departments
we're
and
not
stuff.
Not having relationships. We have a relationship.
Working relationships.
Exactly.
And it's nice they're communicating with us. It's a little bit difficult to kind of coordinate times of all these players. But I do believe.
Can I give a hat tip to Dave Tossel, though? NFL
yes,
UK?
Dave. NFL UK has been great supporters of us, and we appreciate it.
Alistair
and
Kirkwood
speaking of
and
which,
team,
Jeffrey, because we haven't mentioned this on the podcast yet, let's do a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the four games and
it's
the NFL
time
news.
For housekeeping.
Housekeeping. First off, our good friends at Film Courage. They are a radio show and a web show that promotes independent filmmakers and independent web content creators.
Which, by the way, independent film last night saw
The Joneses.
David Duchovny and Demi Moore.
How was that?
It was good. It was, but it was uncategorizable
because
as the nature of so many independent films. They slammed it. They slotted it into a comedy category.
Yeah,
because it was impossible to put anywhere else.
So they made
But I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix on demand.
All right.
So there you go.
So anyways,
giving our support to indie
our
films.
Buddies there at Film Courage are doing a piece on us as independent web content
creators. We are certainly independent producers.
And they nominated us for a Shorty Award, Jeffrey.
Is that how that came about? I didn't even
know
that.
That is how it
came
about. They nominated us first. They said,
that's
you know.
Shocks.
And so go out. We need more people to come and nominate because we're already in the top 15 in football and the top 15 in web show.
Okay.
So
now
these
are not the podcast awards, which we're up for and we get denied every year. We become finalists. We are the
Susan Lucci of the podcast
and
awards.
And she was nominated for a soap opera like every year for 17
years in a row until
That's
she finally
be our
won.
Claim to fame.
But anyways, we would like for you all to go out. If you go to our website, NFLRNR.com, right beneath the fold, right on the right-hand side, there is a button that says "Vote for us for a Webby, nominate us for a Webby Award." Click that button; it'll take you to our page. Then it'll say how you tweet, what you have to tweet.
Did
you
I
have
do
to
it right?
You did. You did.
I
Your
did
vote
right?
was counted.
Yay!
Counted. Yes. And basically, it's I nominate at NFLRNR for a Shorty Award in, and you got to hashtag the category
football,
hashtag football. Because, and then you have to actually give a because. If you don't have a because,
I said because I do it and I think it's really good. I was just honest.
Yeah, and so go
it
out and do
it.
We would appreciate all of your nominations.
Moved you appreciation.
Because obviously, what we're trying to do, if it's not clear to you, is we're trying to grow our brand as
we're
big
trying to actually
and
make
as
a living
live as possible. And Jeffrey, I mean, we can announce this. This
yes,
is for real.
This is for real.
Once again, Radio Row all
oh,
week
yes.
long, Super Bowl,
Indianapolis.
Here we come. We will be there the Sunday prior to the Super Bowl. We will be there all week long till 2 days past the Super Bowl, right?
Now, if anyone wants to be creeper, we're landing in Cincinnati on Sunday around 10 a.m.
And have a drink with us?
Well, we've had people meet us at the airports before.
Yeah, that's,
and
yeah.
it's always a little strange because you get off a flight and you're tired.
I know, and you have no
idea
who it is.
And you're tired, and it's like someone's like, well, can I take my picture with you? It's like, okay. Can I have your name first? I don't know.
Yeah, who are you? And how do you know us? But no, it's always great to hook up with listeners. But seriously, listeners in Indianapolis, we'd like to hang out with you.
Yes.
Now, before LA people start getting
go
angry.
There. No, I was going to go
and,
there.
And,
we look, have had, you know how many people we've heard from? Do you know?
How many?
Because I asked them to email me.
Yes, and how many have you heard from?
Sharon.
Sharon, we were going to, you know what? I'm inviting Sharon to come watch football in my house.
I
How
want
that?
Seriously.
Let's just.
So
have,
I think my house is a little because there's less kids.
Yeah, it's a little bit more cleaner.
But well, I wasn't thinking cleanliness.
I'm
but
like, our house. Have you
our
seen our home lately? Mostly because I've cleaned.
Have you cracked
since,
the whip?
Well, you know what?
Kids?
I had
the
to crack
cannot,
the whip with the girls.
Well, dude, girls
here's
will leave stuff forever.
Here's what I did with the girls. I was like,
girls can have. Hey, I'm not done. Girls can have eight pairs of shoes in the living room,
yes.
And you know what's fascinating? They weren't there the day before.
Yeah, they used them all.
How do you use eight pairs of shoes in one day?
Well, I'm not at that point yet, but see, right
you
now
wait.
My girls
oh.
have so many toys.
Yes, they do.
Literally,
their parents indulge them.
Okay, we can go there. We can go there and say that our parents indulge them. But they're friends, and they have birthday parties and Christmases, and everybody indulges them, apparently. And they have, so literally.
They have aunts and uncles that indulge them.
Yes, and grandmas.
And cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
My
we can
kids
keep
bought
going.
Your kids get gifts.
So literally, it was girls. There's some kids who don't have no toys. And
awesome.
How about we find some toys that you guys don't want to play with, and we get those toys and we give them to some kids that need some
That's
toys.
That's proper.
And they were all on board with that.
That's
they
excellent.
Were like, there's kids that don't have toys.
Yes, there's
like,
lots
yes.
of kids that don't have toys.
And so we donated a bunch. Good for the girls. They did that. But anyways, beside the point, we are going to be in Indianapolis, and we do want to meet with people. I mean, if there's anybody really in the L.A. area that wants to hang out with us and watch some football, we're going to make it happen.
We're hoping for Sunday. Because Saturday we're supposed Saturday, to be in San
Francisco. Saturday we're supposed to be in, for the Niners.
And the expectation is we'll come back Saturday night late.
Yes.
I'll drive up on Friday and we'll spend
the
night.
So we're going to go Friday, spend
the night. Yeah, because Dee Dee will pop for the hotel.
Okay.
Because she wants to see her mom.
See your mom. Okay.
So we'll do this proper and then we just drive back Saturday night. And then Sunday we get up and it's time to watch football. We want to go down to LA Live, ESPN Zone. But so far, Sharon's the only one who wants to play.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then Sharon's coming to our house.
There you go.
That's all there is to it, because Sharon's just giving us more than we could ever ask for.
Yes.
So she's
yes.
coming to our house.
Yes.
That's all there is to it.
Absolutely.
And we know her, so we trust her to
yes.
be in our house.
Yes, we do.
Now, the rest of y'all, we don't know, so we want to keep a proper distance.
That's right.
And put it in a real business establishment like the ESPN Zone where we could have snipers. Just in case.
Snipers.
Just saying.
All right, so there's that.
He's me hanging on his all. That's cool.
His all. I'm sorry. Cool. Yes, I'm not so down with the snipers, though. I don't ever want to shoot anybody.
I wouldn't do it. You farm it out to someone else. Blackhawk.
Yes.
Industries. You know that since the wars are ending, what are those guys supposed to do?
I just want you to know,
private
Jeffrey,
security firms.
As a baseball guy, the LA Dodgers will have a Vince Scully bobblehead night on August 30th versus the Diamondbacks.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
The Angels or the Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
Oh. Of course.
You don't care about that, right?
I don't care about the Dodgers. I
did
love
you
Vince
hear
Scully.
LA Angels,
yes.
though? I'm like, why are the Angels having a Vince Scully bobblehead night for?
I support it, and I would go and get one. Because Vince Scully is the best thing baseball is in L.A., and he happens to announce for the other team. That's okay. I still love Vince.
All right, Jeffrey. Time for some NFL news. We got double bell for NFL news today.
You're
why?
Just late.
Romeo?
Romeo.
Oh, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Why would he have to refuse his name? Isn't it the women that usually refuse their name and they change their name to get to the man's last name? Why is Juliet talking like, Romeo, give up your last name?
She's saying if it is the fact that we're Montagues that's keeping us apart, then bail on that name, dude.
Capulets.
Don't get caught up in that.
She should bail on her name. How about that?
The point was that she was making is let our families not stand in the way of our true love.
Okay.
Steven,
have you ever loved
really
a woman
emotional.
That much? That you would kill for her? You would die for her?
I think I married one about 24 years
good,
ago.
Good, because I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't get between.
I never told her to deny her name, though, but she did all on her own accord.
She still has Trish Ellis Miranda out there on Facebook, though, so people can
find her. I know, but that's more for her college and high school people.
I understand that.
Yes, yes.
And people ask
but
me,
legally, it's just.
And I'll tell them she's cool.
Legally, it is just Trisha Dawn Miranda.
Yes, it is, as it should be.
I gave her middle name out.
Well, let's give her social security number out. 672-547-5531.
Speaking of Romeo Crennel. He's no longer interim head coach. The Kansas City Chiefs have agreed to a 3-year deal. Making him the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's eyeless.
Eyeless. What do you feel about that move?
You know, Jeffrey? Steven, it's funny. You haven't asked me. I think it's time for Romeo to get another shot as a head coach in the NFL. Your first chance as an NFL head coach generally doesn't go well. I mean, just historically, it generally doesn't go well. Romeo's so widely respected around the league, and his first stint when he was head coach.
With the Cleveland Browns.
With the Browns.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't pretty at all. But whom did he have supporting him in the upper ranks, in the general manager's office and things like
not
that?
Not a whole
what
lot.
What players did he have to work with?
Not
a
much.
Whole lot.
Yeah.
So now here we've got this really teed up for a nice situation there where you have Mike Holmgren and you've got some really good people around you. You have a young nucleus of good players. This is a team that could actually do some damage.
Well, I'm gonna say this because she probably is not gonna listen to the show. But anyways, her name's Andrea Walt. She's a producer for ESPN.
Okay.
And she usually has a lot of smart alecky comments about the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I tweeted to her this morning. I was like, "Yo, Andy, what do you think of this hiring?" Because I wanted to hear your smart alecky comment. And she actually replied, "No, I like him, and I like this hire. Players love playing for him.
They do.
That's huge." And so Andy's excited about this hire for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Chiefs fans should be excited.
Well, I think Chiefs fans are going to be happy to get clear of Todd Haley, frankly.
Yeah.
His little shtick. Talk about a shtick that
I'm
wears thin.
I'm telling you, that was over a long time ago.
Seriously. And it's like, he hadn't been there that long, but yes. He'd overstayed his welcome, and he hadn't been there that long.
And as Andy would say, dude, take a shower.
Take a shower. Get a new hat. Get a new hat.
It did always look like he hadn't taken a shower for a few days.
So Chief CEO Clark Hunt said in a prepared statement, "We are very excited to name Romeo as the new head coach of the Chiefs." And where's the pickup? I missed the pickup. In 30 years as a coach in the NFL, Romeo has established an outstanding track record of success, and we believe his experience and proven ability make him the best person to help us reach our goal of consistently competing for champions. Nice speech.
That was a nice speech, Jeffrey. I'm down. I'm down with what the Chiefs have done here. I like Cornell, and I'm glad that he's getting another chance, and we'll see. We'll see how the Chiefs are. I'm going to expect good things from the Chiefs. You know what? For the Chiefs this year,
they finished 7-9. I know people are like, dude, we won the AFC West last year. Anyone can win the AFC West.
But Jeffrey, they finished 7-9.
Yes, after starting horribly.
Yes, and then injuries to their starting running back, Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries to Eric Berry of safety. Injuries to Tony Moyecki, their tight end. Injuries to Matt Castle, their quarterback. They lost throughout the season.
And you left with Tyler Palco throwing the rock.
Many starters.
And Kyle Orton.
It was crazy.
And Kyle Orton, I think, again, if they're smart, they take
him.
Kyle and they hold him close and they allow Tyler Palco to, I don't know, pick fruit.
I think a Kyle Orton, Matt Castle quarterback competition in training camp.
I said, you let Tyler Palco go pick fruit, find a harvesting place to put his hands to good use.
Yeah.
But out of the NFL, clearly.
Yes, not please. With the Kansas City
no.
Chiefs. All right, the Atlanta Falcons have announced that their defensive coordinator, Brian Van Gorder, will no longer be with the team because he has accepted a position of defensive coordinator with Auburn University.
University of Auburn, D coordinator.
So he's left for me the
he's
defensive
the
coordinator in the NFL to become a defensive coordinator at the collegiate ranks.
That's at best a lateral move and probably a step backwards. That tells me
but
that
you know what? But if it's his alma mater, I don't know if it is or not. I'll have to do some research.
I don't know.
But if it's his alma mater, I believe there's a lot of coaches who if presented with the possibility of being the coach for their alma mater,
right?
That they would want to do that. I know I would love to go be the head coach at my alma mater.
Yeah, for their flag football team?
Yes, for their intramural or their intercollegiate
intramural flag football team. I wish we could have met on the field of battle, Stephen. Because I was on the flag football field. No, probably.
Field.
But I was the quarterback killer. I was QB killer.
Jeff,
and I couldn't have touched you. I know I couldn't have touched you, but you would have been running for me.
I would have been
running
for
you. Which
would
have been fun.
Running from you. It would. Yeah, Jeffrey, I remember people hated to play against me because literally I would get rid of the ball so fast or I would be so fast that they never get to me. It's like, man, why even rush? Why even rush the dude? So there you go.
Okay.
Not much other news.
You know, so yeah, now we do have a little bit
here that's
interesting.
What did you hear?
I just tapped and it didn't play. There we go. In one of the more inexplicable moves this offseason, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, talk about going in a completely different direction.
Yes.
Are going from the youngest head coach in the NFL to one of the oldest head coaches in the NFL. Marty Schottenheimer is currently talking to Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Like, that's not a done deal yet.
It is not yet. But do you realize how old Schottenheimer is, Steven? You could pretty much double the age of Ra.
Raheem Morris.
And you end up with Schottenheimer's age, okay?
Well, and let me explain the situation.
That's a pretty big swing when you got a guy, you know, old enough to be Raheem's grandfather.
I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they really liked what Raheem Morris, the energy that he brought to this team.
So now they're looking for someone who's over 70?
But here's the deal. I think as the season progressed, they finished on
a
10-game losing.
They collapsed completely.
Okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It all started when they met us.
Yeah, that's not good. I think what happened is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers front office is saying, We made a
mess of
things.
We're going in a different direction.
We made a mess of things with this youth movement.
I have one thing to say, though, Steven.
Yeah.
Pendulum swinging.
Well, they're going
middle,
the other
middle,
way.
Middle.
They're going the other
Stop
way.
Stop it with the
and
extremism.
Saying, you know what? Hey, you know what? Marty Schottenheimer, last time he coached a team, they were 14-2. Okay?
They were.
So
that was 2006.
Now, imagine someone with the veteran qualities of a Schottenheimer.
Someone wiser, older.
Older,
a sage.
Exactly. Who can take this young talent, because they got a lot of young talent on that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. And he could come in and take that young talent and settle him down and get him to play solid football. That might be something that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are looking for.
Well, just to be clear about what Marty's been up to, in March 2001, the Virginia Destroyers had hired Schottenheimer to be their first head coach and general manager, and he led the Destroyers to a 3-1 record in the shortened 2011 regular season as they earned a playoff berth and home field advantage in his first season of the United Football League.
I like Marty.
I like Marty
Tampa
a lot.
Bay. And I think he would be a great
Marty,
fit.
I like Marty, period.
I think he'd be a great fit in Tampa Bay. All right, finally, Jeffrey, one other piece of news. The San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Superchargers.
Because it's a whole new season.
They will not terminate their lease and will stay in San Diego through 2012.
Big deal. We're not ready for him yet. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh, snap. Snap, or that's as the youth are saying now,
burn. That's and burn was so yesterday. I don't know
was
what it
is
today.
It's I still think snap is pretty popular because I just heard it the other day. Okay. Used by your daughter, by the way, I think.
Although if I think my daughter says it's cool. That's all there's to
I
it.
I think she's copying me, though.
She might.
Or mocking me. Mocking me.
More, my daughter more mocking wouldn't me. Do that to your face.
To my face. So that's it. You got anything else?
No, sir.
Ooh. This is coming in, and it's not good news. This is actually a little
disturbing
news.
I don't know what you're looking at. Are you looking at Twitter?
No, I'm looking on NFL.com.
Okay, I'm going there.
The Green Bay Packers are saying that offensive coordinator, his 21-year-old son, has gone missing.
Wow.
He was visiting friends in Oshkosh.
Bagosh.
And he has not been heard from. So,
police, son of Packers coordinator Philbin, missing in Wisconsin. So Michael Philbin's son has been missing since Sunday.
Joe Philbin.
Joe Philbin. Thank
Michael
you.
Is the son.
Thank you. I'm like, yeah. I don't know Michael.
Joe Philbin is the OC there in Green Bay. So we, anybody in the Green Bay area know anything about this?
Keep
please,
your eyes out.
Please let us
they
know.
They live in Ripon, and that's really yucky.
Yeah, that is not a good story to have to
You know,
talk
it's funny.
About.
Jordan's getting that age, Steven, where he leaves, and now he's 1 year into his driver's license, which means he doesn't have to be home until whenever he feels like it.
Right. So there's no curfew.
Nope.
He can drive friends around.
Yep.
And does he tell you? Is he good about telling you?
Telling us what?
Telling you that he's going out at least?
Yeah.
So you know that he's at
he
least going out.
He asked permission to go out.
Right.
But he doesn't do it formally now. He's like, I'm thinking of getting together with the guys for it's Wednesday Wings, and I didn't know they were going to Hooters.
Jordan.
James told me.
Jordan, if you're – yo, man.
Jordan doesn't listen.
How come Uncle Steven isn't getting invited to go to Wings Night?
First of all, it's at Hooters.
At Hooters.
And that's why. Because he doesn't want Uncle Steven killing his chances.
Oh,
there.
Like I would kill any chances for that kid? I would make more opportunities for that kid than kill any opportunities.
He doesn't know how it works.
Oh, I see.
Is he a ladies' man yet?
Not yet.
Could
not
he
yet.
Be if he so chose? Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But he's not yet, so he doesn't know. Like, he doesn't believe that I have a chance with women because I'm so old.
Well, check this out.
Now and I'm out of shape.
You know why Matt Benson took me to the Rose Bowl?
Meet women?
Yeah, because he knew that I start the conversation,
yes.
And then he can sweep
yes,
in.
That's right.
He doesn't. He's not a conversation starter.
No, he's not.
He just wants me to start
that's
the
right.
conversation for him.
Benson's not an idiot, Steven.
He's not an idiot. He's a good-looking guy, though.
He's a very good-looking guy. He is just not excessively charismatic.
Yes.
He's more quiet and reserved. And so what does a good-looking guy need? A wingman.
That's exactly what he said. I need you to put on your wing stripes, buddy. Come on. Let's go to the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
Oh, we had a great time, though. It was good stuff.
That being said, yeah, the kids won wings, 250 wings at Hooters any given night because Jordan won some stupid contest there.
Yes. So are they going tonight to get those 200 wings?
Wednesday.
And they won the guys. And they get
and
the 200.
It's nice, the national championship.
Yeah, that's
so
right,
we're going to be a little busy tonight.
Yes.
With being glued in front of our TVs again.
LSU Bama.
Again.
Anyways,
what
the
you got tonight?
I like LSU.
I like LSU. It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like either one of these teams, frankly.
No,
I think it's going to be the Tigers.
Yeah, it's going to be a close game, no matter what.
Is Auburn the Tigers? I was just
no. That's LSU is the Tigers.
I had it right.
Yeah, you had it right.
It was Auburn.
Roll Tide, roll. They're the
Crimson Tide.
Tide. Yeah.
They call Alabama the
Crimson Tide.
Call me Deacon Blues. Okay.
Anyways, the Miami Dolphins are interviewing Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say
that is the coach.
Yes, Mike Zimmer is going to Miami, and by the time we do the next podcast, maybe on Thursday, it will be official that Jeff Fisher is in St. Louis
now,
with the Rams.
I heard.
And Steven says with the Rams that for now are in St. Louis.
I heard
Where did
that
you
his,
come up with this?
I saw it on Twitter. Someone.
Where did you come up with this, that they might be headed to L.A.?
Okay. I was drinking. Living. No,
you don't drink, Steven. I've been drinking.
I was living on Twitter this weekend, right? And someone was tweeting to Rich Eisen, another reporter, that Fisher's reservations about becoming the head coach of the St. Louis Rams is the possibility of them moving to Los Angeles.
That's why he doesn't want to. And you know what? That so fits with Jeff Fisher that I don't know Jeff Fisher. I haven't met him yet.
Right.
But my perception of him is he's a Midwest guy.
He's not an L.A. guy. Jeff Fisher is as far away from a Los Angeles guy as you could possibly get.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why, frankly, I had trouble with him in South Beach. I'm just like, that doesn't fit either.
Yeah, he's not a Miami guy.
South Beach is L.A.
guy.
Light,
yeah,
you know?
Light.
It
That's
is.
Good. That's
and,
good.
And it's just more humid.
I think Jeff Fisher's going
to
take the
he
St. Louis
be
job
Midwest.
Because, one, he's got Sam Bradford. He's got a
he's
franchise
got a quarterback.
Quarterback. Okay,
you got draft picks up the wazoo,
and he can totally build a defense that'll work for him.
Yes,
that's what St. Louis needs—a defense that'll work for him.
And
they
an
got the number
one.
They got a number two pick, and I'll tell you right now, I don't even have to hear what anybody's going to say. The number two pick for the St. Louis Rams better be Justin Blackmon, wide receiver of Oklahoma State.
Holy cow!
Okay,
I love that kid.
That's what they need. They need a wide receiver that Sam Bradford can say, "You are my guy. You are my man. I'm gonna throw at you." Jeff Fisher can build that team.
Oh, I know.
The problem is, if he gets any rumblings, any indications
that they're coming to
that L.A., he's been like,
the only
like,
way I want the Rams to come back is with Jeff Fisher as the head coach.
Exactly.
Because I know he can make that team into a winner. I know it.
Anyway, so there you go.
Let's get on to what happened this weekend.
Wild Card Weekend! I think you were
that
late
was
on that
nearly,
one.
I was,
that was,
but that was nearly synced up. The Cincinnati Bengals traveled to the Houston Texans, and spoiler alert, all the home teams won this weekend.
Oh, my God. We were 2-2.
Yeah.
And you saved yourself from being 1-3 by switching over to Houston.
But I never posted on Facebook, which is a crime. That's a crime. I said it on TV.
But you it did go on air on TV. Yes, you did.
You know, it was just being on with Charlotte. They didn't tell us we were going to be on with Charlotte. And then we don't have a return video feed.
And she starts
we don't have a return video feed. You could have told me.
I'm sorry.
So all we have is a voice in our ear.
And you didn't know that was Charlotte.
I was. I'm more concerned about who the guy is because I always feel like we slight the guy because we're chatty
always
and cheeky with the girl.
Yes.
And so I was trying to figure out. I'm like, I think it's one of the Julians. But I can't tell which Julian it is.
Right, right.
They got two of them, and it's like, and then you know, she's like, "Hi guys," and I'm like, "Oh my god, it's Charlotte!" And I didn't have any idea.
Yes.
And it was too late. And then I lost my head, and I had to make my real picks.
Yes, you did make real picks.
And I shocked you on television.
You did by taking Houston.
And I'm so glad I took Houston. Holy cow! The only reason I was taking Cincinnati, Steven, were wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And that's why I changed. My wrong reasons were. Look, Marvin Lewis, he's been to this dance. And he sucked, but he's been to this dance.
Right.
And so he's now going to get it right. He's going to get it right this time. And Andy Dalton, you know, yeah, this team has been pretty bad, but they came in as the second team out of the North because they're really good. And I like Andy Dalton a lot. And, you know what? Those aren't good enough reasons to go on the road and beat a really good team.
Yeah, well, I was very excited because obviously they took the lead. They scored first. They got a 7-0 lead.
Everybody scored first. Spoiler alert.
Here's spoiler alert. Every losing team scored first in their game.
Fascinating. Haven't seen anyone tweet that.
Cincinnati Bengals go 7-0. And I'm like, I'm telling you, Jeff, it's on, baby. It's going to be on. And then they didn't do anything else.
All done. All done.
It was like
Qatar.
Now, do want to talk about the reason they scored that touchdown. It was a 52-yard pass interference penalty on Houston Texans.
Yes.
And look, I started. I was going like, man, you can't give somebody 52 yards on a penalty, man.
Just think of college football.
Yeah. I'm like, you can't. That's just. I mean, it put them right there. Literally, two more plays, and boom, Cedric Benson ran
in
for a touchdown.
Was it a legitimate PI call?
It was.
Yes.
But then I started thinking about it.
He was leaning on him, and he had hooked his arm.
I started thinking about it. No, I'm a corner, and if I get beat, I'm going to tackle the dude.
Of course you
are. Because what's the worst I'm going to do? Lose 10, 15 yards.
Yes.
And not get beat for a touchdown.
What might be a game changer, Steven, is if PI was 25 yards. Okay? So of catches over 15 yards, over 10 yards, pick a number, you get nailed with a 25-yard penalty.
Right.
Then you're only going to do it on purpose if he's in the end zone, which they already do.
Right.
They already do it if he's in the end zone and you're beat and it's clear he's going to catch it. They maul you.
Right.
And they don't give you the chance to catch the ball, and you get first and goal at the one.
Right.
So I think that might actually affect how the game's played. If you go away from the 15, which is too little, and you went to something a little bit
because
more
aggressive. I saw that play, and I was like, first of all, I'm not sure he's going to catch the ball.
Don't know.
But
probably does.
Because of the pass interference, I don't know.
Right.
But 52 yards?
That's a really long way.
That's more
That's
than
more
half,
than half the
field. I mean, dang, dog. What else? You could just give him the ball at the one then.
Might as well.
So we had both Mike Pereira and Peter King from Sports Illustrated both tweet out that they wanted to see this change. And so I did. I finally tweeted. I was like, but seriously, guys, look it. Then you're just going to have quarterbacks tackling wide receivers out in open field if they know they're beat. How do you combat that?
Yeah, well, that's why I've come up with what I've come up with, which is a
25-yarder.
Yeah, or even 30. You know, you got to make it so that you really think twice about mauling somebody.
Yeah.
So the Texans top the Bengals, and they await the Ravens in the next round. You know, T.J. Yates, what can you say about him, Steven? He was pretty good.
All I'm telling the
Arian Foster,
Baltimore Ravens
lucky.
And the Baltimore Ravens fan, bring some offense. Your defense ain't gonna get it done. And here's the thing that I am so looking forward to this weekend. Whoa, what was that?
But you scared me.
I did scare you a little bit, Jeffrey. But here's the deal, okay? You've got offensive powerhouses going against some pretty good defenses in the divisional round. You got the offense of the Saints going to San Francisco.
Well, I would say with
you've
the
got
exception.
The offense of Green Bay playing the New York Giants. You have the offense of the Patriots playing the Denver Broncos defense. And even here, you've got an offense that scored 31 points in Houston going against the defense of the Ravens.
They're going to be on the road, and they're playing a better defense.
That really is the only one that doesn't really matter. But the other three games,
absolutely,
you have big offenses going against
big
defenses.
Who's going to win?
Don't you say defenses win championships?
I quote Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis says it all the time. Okay. Well, we're going to find out.
And I say defense gives you a chance to win a championship, and then a quarterback gives you the championship.
Because we're going to find out if Niners, Giants, Broncos, Ravens win, I might start being a believer of defense
Lewis.
Wins championships.
Where's Ray? Here's Ray.
Defense wins championships. Defense. Well, what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go, we dominate today.
We dominate today.
Defense on three. One, two, three, defense! Here's the deal. I mean, all the games this weekend that are coming up really are going to have some really good defenses. You know, Niners are top five.
In the division.
Ravens are top five. Broncos are top 10. Giants are top 10. So you've got some great defenses that are going to have to literally. I mean, the Niners, Drew Brees. The Giants, Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos, Tom Brady. then the Ravens, you know, they get T.J. Yates. But that's a different story. And the thing is that T.J. Yates looked good because they didn't ask him to do too much.
Because they had Arian Foster back with his anti-awesomeness.
He had no anti-awesomeness.
It was all
gone. That's right.
He showed leaves you with awesome.
No ill effects of that. And he had the thing in his hair, right? Did you see the hair?
No.
He had the logo, the Texans logo in his hair.
Didn't really think about it for some reason.
It was like, way to go. I mean, he's ready to go.
He's all in.
He is.
And you know what? Ben Tate's right there balling behind him. So they've got a 1-2 punch that's pretty wicked and makes it. You know what I was stunned at and I hope for? This was one of the changes, was Andre Johnson didn't do much last week. And I thought they'd get another week to practice together.
Well, here's
the
thing.
Maybe they can hook up, and they did hook up.
Here's the thing. You know what hurt the Ravens a lot this regular season in their losses?
I don't know.
The tight end.
Oh, well, you got a couple of them.
They got three.
Well,
there was another dude.
And you got
Owen Daniels. And
what's
the other guy? There was a third one that was just, you know, it's going to be a great. They're all going to be great games. We're not missing any, right? I'll hit you if we.
Well, the problem is the challenge is going to be, Steven, don't hit me. It's not my fault. So do we stay in the press box after the 49ers game to watch the late game?
Oh, we can't do that.
Well, this is what I'm asking. How do we watch the Patriots game, given that that's the later game on Saturday?
Okay, Niners people, give us a call. What's the place? Best place
Who
to watch.
Lives right next to Candlestick Park and has a really nice TV.
The old guy
who gave us a ride to the airport that we saw last time we were up there. He recognized us.
He did. He gives us. Let's go to his house.
I don't know that he has a big screen TV, Steven. That's
he
not the nicest area.
Yeah,
in San Francisco.
It wasn't. And he probably does not. I'm going to say he doesn't have a big screen
Unless
TV.
He's got 12 gauge, in which case he might.
All right. Anyways, the final
there.
I'm
not saying Candlestick Park isn't in a nice neighborhood, but it's not.
31-10, the final. You got to give it to J.J. Watt. That interception.
What?
That was game changer. That was the game changer.
Did you like my tweet?
I did.
Did
I
you
don't
even
remember
think about
seeing it?
It?
Which one was it?
It was the, as Emma would say.
Oh.
What?
Watt, interception.
You know what? I heard J.J. Watt on the DP show this morning.
Okay.
And DP was asking, well, it's the stick'em right on your gloves.
Yeah.
And that's how you were able to get hold on that.
He pulled that ball out of nowhere. It was coming right at him.
He said, I haven't changed these gloves in 9 weeks. The stick'em's all off of them.
Wow.
I am shocked that I didn't drop the ball. My gloves were so slippery. So
Steven, you got to play along.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they were.
Watt.
What?
Yes,
what?
Who's on first base?
The first baseman.
Who's on first base?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, and Watt is on defense.
What? I lost. No, I got lost. Anyways, J.J. Watt.
The guy
who
intercepted the ball was Watt. And you keep saying these things. It's about him. And so I say,
it's
what?
Not what?
And you're supposed to
it's
say, what?
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 And you're supposed to say, yes, Emma.
That's
what?
Right. It was J.J. Watt.
Exactly. So she says, what?
I get
you
it
say, what?
Now.
Now
I get
you
it.
Get it.
Now
yay.
I get it now
yay.
Because I'm like, but it's what, not what.
Don't be silly, Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Anyways, T.J. Yates didn't have to do anything. He only threw for 159 yards.
How about another hurdle by Jermaine Grisham? Was that awesome? All right, I mean, Jerome Simpson.
Dude,
Jerome
Simpson. Simpson's going to get smacked when
he is,
day.
But he did another hurdle, which
he
was
did.
Pretty cool.
He went completely
it.
Over the dude.
That was fun.
Hey, man, you know, Cincinnati, there it is. I just saw it. Wow.
Just saw what?
The hurdle. The hurdle?
The hurdle, yeah.
Look at, oh!
What are you watching? Highlights?
The game. I'm watching the
You're
game.
You're watching
basically.
The game?
Yeah, I've got it on right
I think
here.
It's time we talk about another game.
All right,
to get
well,
you out of there.
We're moving on. The
Pittsburgh
next
Steelers,
game. No,
Denver.
No.
Oh,
the
wow,
next
gotta
game.
We've got to go to the NFC side of the ledger.
The next. It is on the NFC side
I
of the
said
ledger.
We've got to go to the NFC. Listen to me or don't.
The Detroit Lions travel to St. Louis, New Orleans to face the Saints. I just wanted to say Saints. No, that comes down.
They tried.
A little.
They tried.
They did try. Look.
They scored in every quarter.
Hey, they took a 14-10 halftime lead.
Yep.
They took a early 7-0 lead. The problem is, unlike in the regular season, where the Detroit Lions scored 139 points off of turnovers, most in the league, when they got the turnovers against the Saints, they couldn't capitalize. They couldn't capitalize.
They didn't.
And Jim Schwartz was a little testy.
Steven, you're the only one who's press seen conference. This. I went out and looked. I waited till 11:30 when they finally put up the press conference, and they chopped it all up.
Yeah, of course they're not going to show him in the beginning when he's all testy and mean to people.
That's what I went to see, and I stayed up till 11:30 to watch that, and there was nothing to see. Nothing to see here, folks. That's why we like to be at the press conference.
Exactly.
I want to know what it feels like in that room.
I bet you. Okay,
and
so
NFL Network showed it live.
Let me just check it out, okay? He comes up. He steps to the podium, you know, gets the microphone and kind of moves it. And he stands there for 3 seconds, literally, because I counted him. Because I rewound and I counted him. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003.
Steven, what happens in most press conferences we're in situations like that, though? I don't know where you're going, but I want to just give people a baseline. Okay? Do the guys who are at the podium want to be there unless they've won and done something cool? And generally, they still don't want to be there. They want to be with their teammates, right?
Right.
So nobody wants to be at the podium. So you're the losing coach, and nobody asks a question?
Yeah.
Immediately? I'm gone.
But here's the thing,
Jeffrey. What did he do?
Here's the thing.
What did he do?
Most coaches, when they come up to the podium,
they have a statement.
Win or loss,
they have a statement.
They have something to say.
So they have a he didn't have a statement.
He didn't say anything.
Oh, so he changed the rules.
Yes. He just went up there, 1,001, 1,003. He's I'm not waiting for anybody.
See, that's
so
what.
So if you don't, that's his first thing out of his mouth.
I might play it that way once.
I don't. I'm not waiting for anybody. So if you don't have anything, I'm gone.
You guys, is that it? Don't have any questions.
Is that it?
No, and coach, we're waiting for you.
Right. Usually the coach says something, even whether you win or lose.
Hey, it goes like this. I'll do it. So I walk up to the podium. I adjust the microphone. We obviously didn't have our best effort out there today. Not going to make excuses, not going to talk about the injuries, not going to talk about the blown calls, not here to talk about those things. We weren't ready. I didn't get the job done. I didn't have our guys ready to play. Questions?
That's how it always goes.
I memorized this crap.
Okay, but this was Schwartz. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003.
You guys don't got anything for me, I'm out of here?
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. Now look, here's the thing. When you're Jim Schwartz, okay, and you win a game a la when they beat the Dallas Cowboys,
yeah,
a la early in the season when they beat the team up?
Seattle.
The Bears.
They're middle up.
Middle up. And you win in Minnesota. When you win those games in come-from-behind fashion, remember how everybody was like, oh, they came from behind, 17, 20.
20, 22. Right?
He comes onto the podium, and he's got his strut,
right,
and he's got his swag, and he's talking smack about the other team, right?
We beat a pretty good team today.
Now, coach, you just lost to a really good football team. You can't just go up there and not say anything and then say after 3 seconds, well, if you're not asking me something, I'm out. I was literally like, you've got to be kidding me, coach. Okay, we've already seen how you reacted when somebody else won and you thought they disrespected you. You basically chased them 30 yards down the field to get in a fight.
Yeah,
now you're going to be all testy to the media that have covered you all season long.
Oh, Coach BTW, your players play with a certain lack of composure and self-control, and you're not exhibiting it?
I wonder who exhibits it. The head coach!
It comes
from Jim
the
Schwartz
top.
Was
comes from the top.
Very petty. It came across very petty in that press conference at the end of the game.
There you go. So Drew Brees did what Drew Brees does and just lit it up. He certainly made my boyfriend look good. And, oh, my gosh, Darren freaking Sproles. That guy is something else. And the fact that A.J. Smith let both those cats get away. And then it occurred to me today or during the Lions game, watching Michael Turner run like mad. I'm like, he was a San Diego Charger.
Yeah.
Can they not keep good talent? These guys are so good.
Yeah, I think at some point when Sproles scored that second touchdown.
That was when Peter King
tweeted.
AJ Smith's vomiting somewhere. And I wanted to reply to Peter. That assumes he's watching.
That's probably right. Probably wasn't watching. But look, you got to give it to the New Orleans Saints. They They were horrible in that first half of football, Jeffrey.
They sure were.
They looked.
They only put 10 points up.
Bad. Bad as bad can be. But you got to give it to that defense that they kept them in the game.
That's right.
And made it a 14-10 halftime. That's manageable.
That is totally manageable. It also meant all the consternation of people in Vegas going, they're never going to hit the over like Steven promised me.
Did they hit the over? They shattered the over.
They destroyed the over.
But, Jeffrey, 35 points in the second half. Five drives, five touchdowns. That was the New Orleans Saints.
Their punter was downright bored.
Yeah, he literally started reading the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, got through book one.
Because he had nothing to do. No punts. In the entire game, there were only three punts.
Yeah. It was really ridiculous. And it was a fun game to watch. It wasn't close in the end, but it was fun.
45-28.
Drew Brees.
Now, I'm going to hear Lions fans say, oh, but that fumble recovery that should have been able to run it down for a touchdown would have changed the complexity of the game.
Yeah, it would have meant you didn't lose by 17. You only lost by 10.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
That
you only lose by two scores instead of three scores. Okay.
That play did not contribute to the 35
Drew Brees, 400. How often does a winning quarterback throw for 466 yards? That's losing quarterback. Yeah. Ask Brett Favre about that. He'd put up numbers like that all the time when they lose.
And the Saints also had, 600 and
– all-purpose yards?
60-something. It was the most in playoff
history. It was ridiculous. Yes, there was a lot of firsts there.
Yeah, a lot of firsts in playoff history. But look, here – Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I have found a new love for Sean Payton. When the
dude. That's a dude.
They were 4-for-4 on fourth down. And he never hesitated. No. You know how some coaches let's call a timeout.
Or there's Mike Smith who says,
timeout.
Let's just go for it. Yeah.
Didn't hesitate. Was like, 4th and 1. I got the play. And did you notice?
He spread him
every
out.
Every 4th and 1 or every 4th and 2? Was a different play.
But how often was it a bunch formation?
Only
one time.
Once, when Drew
and what
Brees
did Drew
went
Brees
over,
do? Yes. He played Superman and went over the pile. 5'11 Drew Brees can jump.
Yes,
okay?
he got some hop.
And he went high.
I tell you what, man. The Saints are going to be difficult to stop. I think the San Francisco 49ers defense. Here is the box score. For the Saints, by quarter.
Do tell.
0, 10, 14, 21.
I like the 0, 10, 14, 21. And so if there was a fifth quarter, they would have scored
probably 30.
35 or something.
Jeffrey, they kept – and the thing is, even late in the game, they were winning by a lot. And then the Lions – they kept – we just – and I love what Drew Brees said in the press conference. We just pedal to the metal.
Yes.
Because we never know what's going to happen.
Don't apologize.
You got to keep going. Just keep going.
When Bill Belichick did it, we had a hard time. I'll be honest with you about that. When they're completely blowing out an opponent and they're still putting up yards. But you know what? I'm starting to recant myself and say, you know what? Keep doing what there is danger, Steven, in stopping what you're good at.
I understand
and
that.
If what you're good at
but
is moving the ball, then move the ball.
Those are different situations. The Lions kept making it a 10-point game.
They did.
The Saints kept
easy two scores.
Yeah. So the Saints kept plugging away. The Patriots back in 07 were beating people
by 35.
38-10
right.
And still throwing the ball.
But I'm still okay with, you know what? The fans came out to see your team be themselves.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're scoring,
ball,
so what? Just
score
throw the damn ball. Score 100. It's out there as a target. It's never been done in the NFL.
I told you 70.
You said the over-under. If it was, it'd have to go up to 70 before you'd take the under.
Yes.
And they finished with 73.
And they still went over. Yes.
Yes.
Still went over.
It's craziness.
So.
Quickly, we gotta go hurry up here.
Hurry up. No, we still got – now we got the Sunday games. The Sunday games is where it's get interesting.
We're starting.
We'll start in New York.
In Nueva York. Meadowlands Stadium.
How you like me now?
I don't like you.
I said the winner of Giants Cowboys going to the NFC Championship game. How you like me now? 24-2. They shut out the Falcons offense, baby.
You can't tell me the Cowboys would have done that?
Probably.
No. So how did you know?
How did I know?
Yeah, since you're proud of this.
Those two teams going into the final couple weeks of the season were playing for playoff football. They were playing playoff football.
Live or die.
Win or go home.
And they they screwed up, and then they played each other, and
no,
only
they didn't.
The Giants
beat the Jets before the Cowboys, okay. Then they beat the Cowboys, but now they beat the bejesus.
They plucked the Falcons
out of the Atlanta Falcons. When you score an offense to 0 points,
the offense could have had six. They could have had six.
Okay, if they we don't know, that means they had the opportunity for six because they got to still send their kicker out there, and he's got to make the field goal.
40-degree day in MetLife Stadium.
A little blustery.
It was 10-mile-an-hour wind.
The Giants kicker missed a 31-yarder at the end of the game? Yes, Lawrence Tynes.
He's never impressed me.
But still, so you're saying, yes, they had the opportunity to kick two field goals, and they decided to go for it on fourth down instead.
It was stupid. You guys, you would have been gone in to halftime
with
5 points. Yeah. 5-7 is quite different than 2-7. Our offense hasn't done bleep.
Yes.
And so who knows what happens, but the Giants come out third quarter, score 10 points quickly, and it was game over. I mean, honestly, Atlanta has nobody but themselves to blame. I really thought this team had done something special in the offseason, and I really thought you wouldn't get Big Dork.
I still go back.
To not pick off several times by that defense.
I still go back to the draft, Jeffrey.
What did I say about John Abraham? Everything I said came true except for the outcome.
But let me go back. Let me go back to the draft.
Right.
When we were having a good time.
Next to the ESPN crew stealing pizzas from the ESPN.
And then they say the Atlanta Falcons have made a trade.
Oh yeah, love that.
Moved up.
Yeah,
and are now taking.
And I knew why, and I yelled it.
Take wide receiver Julio Jones.
I yelled it,
and I said, and you said they believe that this guy.
This is the year.
This is it. This is the
year.
That's
the missing piece.
Need. And I'm like, man, they are so wrong. That is not the only missing piece.
I didn't believe that this was the only. I said that's what they believe.
That's what they believe.
Right.
Well, you didn't believe. I didn't believe it.
But I, now that they've played a season, Steven, I think they could be. I think this is a team that's good enough to win it all. I do.
Atlanta?
I think they are. Well, now unfortunately, they may lose Michael Turner. I mean, not Michael Turner. I'm talking old guy. Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez.
They may lose Tony Gonzalez because every year he's close to hanging him up. And now John Abraham, who's just a beast, he's old, and he's got to think, do I want to do this again? Do I want another training
he's
camp
always,
and everything?
He's always
on the fence.
Yeah.
And so it's like now you lose those pieces? No, you're not there. Not without Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah,
not without John Abraham. Tony Gonzalez ends his career if he goes out, never winning a playoff game. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support. They targeted him once, I think, in the game.
Yeah.
It was insulting. Very, very frustrated for him. Congratulations to the New York Jets. Don't want to be petty
Giants.
At all.
Giants.
New York Giants, whatever. I don't want to be petty about whoever it is.
You said Jets.
I roll.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be sarcastic. I roll.
No, the Giants, look, the Giants came out. Their defense is balling right now.
They are. I love Perry Fuel.
You know what? Fine. If the Niners are going to play like that, let's scrap them. Let's go to Green Bay instead.
Okay.
Let's go see Giants Green Bay.
No, I don't want to see that. This Saturday's game is the game
it
I
is
want
be
to
great.
See.
Well, you know, let's do both.
Yeah, we don't have a budget.
The reason
we do San Francisco is because
we're driving
it's $150
up there.
Bucks in gas.
Yes.
That's why we do it.
Hey, wait, we're going to stay with your mother-in-law?
No. Dee Dee's gonna find a hotel, and the three of us will crash in a room.
All right. So Giants get the win 24-2. The last time a team in the playoffs only scored 2 points. Oh, never. The first time. It's nice. The first time in the playoffs that a team scores exactly and 2 points.
By the way, don't hold your breath for it to happen again. Okay? Just saying.
Exactly. But isn't that weird?
Just saying.
It's all, Jeffrey.
Damn, what are I going to do here?
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing. The 2 points, dog.
We're not laughing with you. We're laughing at you,
at halftime, didn't you think you were watching a baseball score?
Yeah, it was 7-2.
Wow, man.
The Braves have got some work to do.
I'm like, the Mets are just – they're
Mets
putting some
pretty
offense
good
on, the,
those
on
Braves.
The Braves.
Come on, you got to pick it up a little bit here.
7-2. Anyways, there you go. Good for the Giants, man. I really think that
– By the way, less people think that I boast too much about my kids.
Yeah.
My son got his butt handed to him on Saturday. Five pitches in the first inning he threw.
Yeah.
Five pitches.
Second when you told me that, I thought he was cruising.
He was cruising, and I think he started thinking he was cruising.
Oh, then it was like a lot
got
of little
blowed up, sir. Blowed up, sir. He threw 50-some pitches through three innings.
Blowed five, up, sir.
Where's your commanding officer? Blowed up, sir. He had a rough outing.
Whoa.
And see, I don't just love on my kids. I laugh at them sometimes, but yes. I only do that if they're good.
You can't laugh at them.
You can't if they're good, Steven. If your kid's good and he has a bad day, I'm laughing with him.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at him. I'm just, dude, you suck today. Wow.
All right. The final game of Wild Card Weekend, the game that actually provided the Wild.
All the entertainment of the weekend was saved for the end.
The Denver Broncos travel. No, they were
at home
hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as I tweeted out earlier today, once again, our buddy Sam, he picks the best game of the weekend.
Everybody did. Everybody was at this
you
game.
Mean, everybody was went
Everybody's
to see,
at
really?
This game. When he told us when we had him on the interview, we talked to him pre-interview. Batista was there from the New York Times. Everybody was there. Everybody was there. And, Sam ended up, you know, we asked what he was going to do after the game. He goes back to the press box and writes because he had two columns he wanted to do. And he ended up getting handed the San Diego column as well, Steven. He's got three columns up today on LATimes.com.
Sam?
Sammy had three columns today.
He was working
hard. He worked late last night. He didn't leave that press box for a while. That's just a tough gig. When you're a column writer and you have a deadline, it's like, We need 2,500 words, and we need it by 10 p.m.
You're yeah.
Like,
okay. Yeah.
Go back, right.
Jeffrey,
right,
I got to show you this picture. If you can kind of reach over. Can you reach over the
and touch someone?
Yes.
And get up and peek.
Do you see what it is?
I'm seeing that's fascinating.
Giants cap. Jets cap.
So I'm assuming this is the new Meadowlands Stadium, and this is one of the gift kiosks. And so what they have there in this picture on the left is New York Giants caps, baseball caps. A couple different varieties. And on the left are New York Jets caps, a couple of varieties. All the Jets caps are stamped
50% off.
There you go. All you need to know. Is that a Saints cap in the corner, lower left? What is that?
No, that's the stadium.
Oh,
that's their
the
new stadium. Yeah.
Cap. Stadium. Okay.
Gosh,
all Jets
I'm
gear
sorry.
Could be had 25. And by the way, if you guys are real
off.
Big fans of your team and your team's not in it, this is the time of year to buy merchandise.
Yes.
Everything's half off. Don't be dumb, okay? Don't get excited in the preseason. That's when they jack you for all
yes,
the money. So you buy your crap when your team sucks, and then you're good. Just helping you out. Your consumer reporter, Jeff Ellis, here.
Woo. Jeffrey.
Talk to me.
The league, I don't know if we mentioned this or not, but the league says the handling of Lions Sense game wasn't a mistake.
It was a mistake, and they knew that, and they came out with it. No. You and I talked about it. We didn't talk about it on the
show.
Yeah,
no, that was the fumble.
This
was the end of the game. I don't remember how the end of the game finished.
Was this Tony's game? What?
This was Karani's game, yeah.
Okay, so Peter King comes out today with a guy that we like and admire a lot, a local guy here, Huntington Beach's own high school teacher, Tony Correnti.
Yes.
We saw him at London for the International Series, was stoked that he was coaching the game. We ran into him on the tube, and he was there with his wife, and he was not happy to see us.
Yeah.
And that was really surprising because not like we're best friends, but he's a really friendly guy. He's really outgoing.
Yeah.
He has a ton of energy, and he was very – and I just chalked it up to maybe he's never been to the UK before, so maybe he's a little overwhelmed at the culture shock because people expect there to be none.
Yeah.
And there is some. And I just kind of wrote it off to that. And after the game, Tony didn't really want to talk, and I was surprised. And then I saw Tony do the game last night, and I was really concerned because he had no eyebrows and no hair.
Right.
And then I just had this horrible thought, oh, my God, I hope he doesn't have cancer.
And that's what Peter King comes out with this morning. Yeah.
Is that Tony is
because of
cancer.
Chemotherapy and radiation.
So please, your thoughts and prayers to Tony Correnti, a wonderful, wonderful man, family man. Just I don't know how if you get more decent a guy.
And he's been a referee for
Long 20 time. Years yeah. at least in the NFL. So. He's a head official and he's a really sweet guy.
He did look really bad.
His crews are usually amongst the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's a reason he gets playoff games. There's the reason he gets the odd Super Bowl because his crews are amongst the best.
Yeah.
So pray for him, please.
All right, Jeffrey.
Worky work, busy bee.
We got to keep going.
We do. Finally, this final game.
We're there. We're in Mile High.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Chrissy must have been beside herself. Did she tweet anything?
She did not. She texted me after the game.
We had her in front of Sports Authority Field.
Yes, she had to work and wasn't.
Oh, my gosh. She was on a set?
Yes, she was on a set.
She was shooting during a game?
During a game.
What kind of nonsense? Your team's playing. You close the set.
And so, but Jeffrey, she's very happy because she only got to see the last 4 minutes.
No, well, there you go.
Well, as we know,
if you're going to see 4 minutes, that's a good 4 minutes to see.
The final 11 seconds.
That mattered at all.
Mattered.
At all. In this new modified overtime playoff system that I wrote a column a year ago with
that's
the
right.
need of modifying.
Weren't you just excited? I was excited. I was thinking to myself, Denver's going to go kick a
field goal. Do you remember my column?
I don't. It was a year ago.
It was highly critical of the new system, Steven.
Really? Was it?
Yeah.
I know we laughed about it a lot.
I'm going to repost it for people to read.
Okay.
We laughed at it? At my column?
No, at the rules.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, you shouldn't laugh at my column. It was a serious column, and I liked it.
We laughed at the rules
yes.
a lot.
I thought that, honestly, it was a I think the title of the column, and I'll repost it, so please go out to our website, take a look. But the new overtime, modified overtime playoff system is in need of modification,
yes.
was, I think, the headline
I
came up
that.
With. And I was very critical of it, and one of the reasons was I didn't like the notion of the most important game of the season. We're going to bring in something new.
Yes, you did.
I had a huge problem with that. Do it in the preseason to see what you think of it in games that don't matter. Maybe roll it in week 1 and 2 when the games don't mean as much. You don't introduce something brand new to the NFL during the playoffs.
Well, it wasn't brand new. I mean, it was introduced.
And how many head coaches had practiced this stuff? Do you know that Demaryius Thomas, DT, do you know what he thought as he's running for a touchdown?
What did he think?
I'll tell you what he thought, because I listened to him this morning on Sirius NFL XM Radio.
Okay.
He thought, I wonder what's going to happen when Pittsburgh gets the ball. That's what he's thinking when he's scoring the touchdown.
Well, then I'm sorry. You don't know the rules. You should know the rules.
Now, his quarterback, Tim Tebow, knew the rules,
yeah.
and he knew as he's getting in there that it was game over.
Right.
But the guy who scores the winning touchdown didn't know. Why? Because this brand freaking new. This is not Donovan McNabb saying, oh, I guess there's overtime. I didn't know there was overtime. This is brand new.
No.
And he's a young player.
But Jeffrey, everybody knew.
Yeah, everybody except for the guy who scored the winning touchdown.
Well, he didn't know the rules, and now he knows them.
Worked out pretty well, didn't he? Could
yeah.
you imagine if he thought, you know, will you at least get a field goal?
No, as soon as
running out of gas.
And there were some of our listeners. We got a Facebook post. We're like, I thought both teams were supposed to get the ball.
So we still don't know anything about this system and if it's any good.
Well,
we don't know.
And I still believe, and I'll go here, that both teams need the ball.
Should have a chance.
Fine. Denver scored a touchdown.
Right. Now it's
your
turn. Give
the ball to Pittsburgh.
We're kicking off to Pittsburgh.
If Pittsburgh scores a touchdown, then we play sudden death.
Yeah.
Next person to score wins. If Pittsburgh doesn't score a touchdown, then Denver wins. I get that. But Pittsburgh, once again, never touched the ball.
And you know what? He was playing at the end of that game as if his ankle was starting to feel a little better. He had just said complete effort to the pain.
Yeah, I'm just forget the pain.
It don't matter anymore because we're on the cusp of not playing anymore.
Right.
And he started playing differently. He started extending plays with his legs.
Yep.
He started running for
started
first downs.
To look
and he was
like
diving. He wasn't sliding like old Ben Roethlisberger.
Good old mobile Ben and
so you
the
give them another possession, I think they score.
But here's the deal. Tim Tebow, man. I'm watching this football game, and it starts, and it's the first quarter, and they get their first possession. They go 3-and-out. And I had to go back and watch the defense play of the Pittsburgh Steelers because I'm like,
yes,
they're not going to let them run. And I go back, and sure enough, the first play, there's 8 in the box. The second play, there's 8 in the box. The next play, there's 9 in the box.
Question is, how did Willis McGahee get 61 yards? It's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It's a miracle.
And a couple of those were late in the game.
They were.
After Tebow had completed
some
couple,
passes
some big
down
bombs,
the field.
that the defense had
10 pass completions. Yeah,
exactly. And
look,
so I'm thinking to myself.
He threw some horrible balls in this game, and he threw some beautiful balls in this
yes.
game.
Yes. And the first at the end of the first quarter, Tebow lines up, and the defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers, both safeties, both Polamalu, they come in, and they're 10 in the box.
Yeah, the crash of the
and
box.
And the Broncos only have one wide receiver, and so there's Ike Taylor out there on that one wide receiver. Everybody else is in the box. And I'm saying to myself, audible. Audible to the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. He hands it off to Willis McGay. 3-yard loss. I'm like, do you not see that there are 10
do
defenders
you see what I
in the
see?
Box? And Elena, my daughter, who's watching the game with me, she's like, what does 10 in the box mean? What does that mean?
Well, she's thinking it's going to be good that there's a box of something that's got 10 of them left. And she wants herself someone.
So I had to explain this. So I showed her. And
these
she counts
toys.
Them. And she counts the guys. And she's like, oh, my gosh, Dad. Because I kind yeah. of like, did here's the box.
Did you actually draw on your TV screen?
No, but
tell
I did with my fingers. Okay. I didn't draw on my – but I did with my fingers.
Remember, TV friends, TV screens are not telestrators, okay?
You can't write
them. The ink don't come off.
So I put my fingers up like this, like in a rectangle. I said, here's the box. Count them. And she counts them. It's 10. I'm like, you don't run on that. You can't run on that. I don't care how good the running back is. You're not going to run when there's Elena, how many guys do the guys have on?
11.
11. I'm like, okay, so that means there's only one guy that's not in there. And in your offense, on your offensive line, you only have 5 blockers. And even if you have a running back that's going to block and a tight end that's going to block, do you still have 10 to
what
block?
What number are you at? 8,
no.
9.
There you go. That means there's going to be free guys that are going to come and get this guy who's going to run the ball.
Untouched.
Sure enough. McGahee down for 3 yards. And she's like, why didn't they throw it? I'm like, because the quarterback's not audibling. Your quarterback's supposed to see that.
Tim Tebow is so concerned about not making mistakes and doing what his ask him to do.
You're right.
And he is a coach's player. He's not a player's coach. He's a coach's player.
Because, Jeffrey, on that final 80-yard touchdown play,
yeah.
It wasn't an audible.
It was the coach.
It was coach. McCoy, the offensive coordinator,
yes.
called it in, said, all day long, we've been – did you know that on 22 first down plays, they only threw the ball once?
Oh, my gosh. Talk about predictable.
They only threw the ball once.
And wait, that was it?
No, it was this was in the regular –
In regular time.
22 first down
so
plays.
So, like, that was the second
once.
Then.
And so, finally, they threw it in overtime. He's like, okay, they've been stuffing the box on first down. Let's air it out. And it was perfect. Ike Taylor was on the outside.
The pass
safety
was
rolled
right
in
his face.
It
hands
was,
up, oh, ball God. In hands. He got the corner, and he said, I heard him this morning, great story, great kid, and we got to go, Steven, but a great kid. And he just said, if I got the corner, I knew I was in the end zone.
And he was
if I got the
gone.
Corner. And he says, I got the corner.
Trisha thought that my he gone.
Oh, yeah.
She thought, no, it's a little early. And I'm like, nah.
No, he did
that.
In the box.
He did that stiff arm on Ike Taylor, and he was gone.
And
boy.
So he was known. Apparently, DT was known as the king of stiff arm in college.
Yes, yes.
And that's what people loved about him was his stiff arms. And he said, "I knew when it was time to deploy, and I felt nothing but chest. And I knew there it is.
It
he can't get me now.
Yeah.
He can't get me now. He deployed
he
the
gone.
Stiff arm.
It was a great play." 80 yards, took 11 seconds, and so we still are left with
no idea.
The modified playoff rules. It's coming. Jeffrey, great wild card weekend. I can only hope for better things in the divisional
round.
And let's just set that up for you right now, Jeffrey. It's the New Orleans Saints traveling to San Francisco.
Then later on, the AFC game, the Denver Broncos will go to the New England Patriots. Then in the morning on Sunday,
the Houston Texans travel to Baltimore to face the Ravens. And we end up with the New York Football Giants in Green Bay.
Wow.
I'm taking them. I'm telling you right now.
You're taking what?
The New York Giants.
Oh, in Green Bay?
I'm rolling with
the
Giants.
Look, they did it in 2007, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Didn't they go into Green Bay and knock off Favre?
And then they went off and knocked off the Patriots.
Yeah.
I believe in this New York football defense.
Well, they're starting to believe, Steven, so that's all we got.
In the defense.
We'll talk to you guys later in the week. Check out the 5-Minute Football Fix. And
get out.
Vote
for us for the Shorty Awards.
The Shorties, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like us in the appropriate spots. You know how to do it.
And
it's
get
on the
ready
website.
For a great finish to these playoffs. I'm Steven Miranda.
Jeff Ellis. Peace,
for
people.
NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.